Last Sunday, we began the season of Advent with a focus on expectancy. We listened to Jesus speak in his parable, talked about new leaves coming forth on a fig tree, encouraging us in his way to look for signs of new life, to look for signs of the coming reign of God. Because although we find many reasons to be pessimistic about the future, there are indeed signs of hope and new life if we open our eyes to see them. And Advent invites us to open our eyes to see what God is doing in our world and in our lives. Advent is a time of expectancy. Today, John the Baptist joins the story as we think about what it means to live in between Christ's first coming and the beginning of God's work, really from the beginning of time, to redeem all things, and between God's work begun, God's work present, as well as God's work that is still to be done. This time in between. John the Baptist joins this story and invites us to reflect this morning on our lives, to take stock of the direction of our lives, and to turn our lives in God's direction. What is the direction which we're going? It's worth noting, I think, as we are picking up this theme from last Sunday, where John begins his ministry. Luke is very careful to set John's ministry in context. He sets it in the context of time, telling us not only about the people who were in political authority at the time, but also about the religious authorities of the time. Luke tells us the context. But more than that, he tells us the context in which John himself lived and grew up. Luke tells us the child, that is John, grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. John grew up in the wilderness. He grew up in the desert. He doesn't just one day appear out there in the wilderness. He was formed in the midst of that wilderness experience. Luke suggests that his growth and his spiritual and physical strength actually develop as he lives his life out there in the liminal, marginal place, the desert. And I think it's important to note that the story begins there, because as we said last week, it doesn't take much effort for us to imagine our world in our own day as a kind of desert. In fact, it seems that in many ways it may be the default view of our reality these days. In fact, scarcity, isolation, hunger, and violence in many ways seem to rule the day. The pain and injustice around us make us wonder whether God is at work in the kind of wilderness we find ourselves in. But Luke suggests to us in our reading today that the wilderness is precisely where God shows up. Luke shows us that in the wilderness, God has been working in this child, John. He hasn't been noticed. No one has paid attention to where he is or what he's doing. The political and religious leaders have been doing their old thing, but out on the edge, out of sight, where no one has noticed, John is growing up. John is getting stronger, and he is getting ready to begin his ministry. God shows up, and in the wilderness, God provides what we need so that we now can be the ones who cry out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. John appears in the wilderness to bring us the very message that we need. So what is the message we need? What is the message for those who find themselves in the desert wilderness? Well, it seems to me that there are really two messages that John brings here described in this passage from Luke. Let me remind you of the words of our gospel. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, and so on and so forth, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Baptism and repentance seem to be the two imperatives of John's ministry. Repent and be baptized. Both of these ideas, I would suggest, challenge our sense of direction. Which way are we going? Well, the literal meaning of the word repentance challenges us to turn around, in fact. It talks about a complete change of direction. The challenge of following or of baptism points us in that new direction in which we should go. Repentance. Repentance begins with a change in the way that we see reality. It is not about a kind of crippling sorrow over the past. It is not about an attitude of self-loathing, as sometimes it might be suggested. Repentance isn't about beating ourselves up about our shortcomings, our weaknesses, or our sins. But repentance does involve insight, and insight that is sometimes difficult to see or hear or understand. John the Baptist's invitation invites us to take a serious and honest look and to ask ourselves some tough but life-giving questions. What is the state of my faith? How do my actions align with what I say I believe? Do I live with expectancy, alert to what God is doing in my life and the lives of my neighbors, alert to what God is seeking to do in the world? Am I growing in love and service for others? Or is my journey become small and tired and dull and unresponsive? John's challenge is uncomfortable in a season when we yearn to be comfortable. But John's message never scolds us and tells us that we are bad, leaving us feeling sorry and helpless, unless we're playing games that's where we seek to hide. And then, well, we'll hear that part of the story another time. John does indeed scold us for that. Repentance is an invitation to turn in a new direction and to walk in a new way. And the meaning of baptism is very much about following in that new way. If repentance is a call to honest and appraisal, a change of direction, baptism is the walking in that new direction. It is the following. It is the yes we say to God. It is a discernment for action, a taking stock of our gifts and resources and how we will put those at God's disposal. It is the heart and passion and the muscle of conviction and mission. It is the living of a new way. In our following, we claim assurance of forgiveness and pardon and a fresh start. When we see John the Baptist depicted in fine art, normally you can tell it's John the Baptist because he's pointing. John has always got his finger out there pointing to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John says. He must increase, I must decrease, he says. John is not only just pointing to Jesus, but he's also pointing us in the direction of Jesus. He's pointing us in the direction we too must follow, the direction we should go, pointing us in the right direction, in the way of a life lived in the image of Jesus. Luke uses the language of the prophet Isaiah to describe this work that John does, pointing us in a direction. Luke writes, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places made smooth, and all shall see the salvation of God. Hills and valleys, rough places and plain, they all affect us. On our summer vacation, actually it was my study leave. I want to point this out because I was working so hard while Kathy was on vacation with me. We spent some of our time in the summer this year in the Okanagan Valley of British Columbia. I was taking a course up at the Sorrento Center, which is really just north of the valley in the Shuswap Lake Basin. While we were there, we had the opportunity to travel up and down the Okanagan, down to Vernon and Kelowna, and a little bit south, not as far as Penticton, but up and down the valley. Most of our travel was north and south like that, because in British Columbia, at least that part of British Columbia, travel east and west isn't very easy. There aren't many roads that go that direction because there's mountains on either side of the valley. Up and down the valley, really quite simple. But if you talk about another community that might even, as the crow flies, be nearby, people might tell you, you can't get there from here. You have to go somewhere else, and then you can get there. Living in the wilderness, as he did, I'm sure John the Baptist was aware of the challenges of the terrain. And it seems to me that the problem with many of the lives we live today is that we easily find ourselves wanting to go against the grain. We are tempted to want to take the shortest path, but we haven't taken into account that in God's economy, there's another way. It might be a longer way, but another better way. And I'm sure that John the Baptist understood that in life, sometimes to our peril, we take what we think is the easiest or the shortest road, but we can bang ourselves up and become beaten and abused as we knock ourselves against some of the obstacles that appear when we try to go our own way. John's call to repentance is a call to turn towards a new path. It is a call to stop pursuing the dangerous and self-destructive and abusive path, whatever it's called, no matter the number of signposts that invite us to take their directions. Wealth, fame, power, possession, status, they're all the same. They seem to have a great appeal. They seem in many ways to be the road to success, but they go against the grain of the universe that God has created. And there's a better way. And that's Isaiah's promise, a highway for our God. And that's also the meaning of baptism, both the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus. It's a following in a new direction. It is a beginning in a journey that walks and lives and loves in the way of Jesus. So if this Advent we find ourselves in the wilderness, John points us in the direction that we should go, a straight path where valleys are lifted up and mountains made low, the crooked is straight and the rough is smooth. Advent is indeed an in-between time. It's much like the desert, a liminal space, but it provides us the opportunity to pause and prepare to follow. And the promise on this second Sunday of Advent is that God, the God who forgives sins, equips souls that repent with new life and inclusion in God's mission. John invites us into participation, to help prepare the way of the Lord in our own day, so that the world may see God's salvation. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.